Welcome to the Digital Health Transformers podcast series. In this podcast, we explore the dynamic world of healthcare innovation, one conversation at a time. I'm your host, Nicole Guevara, and today we have an inspiring guest at the forefront of transforming the healthcare landscape. Today, I'd like to welcome our remarkable digital health expert and leader, Asim Saeed, founder and CEO of Amenities Health. A seasoned entrepreneur with a dynamic experience in digital health, Asim has helped several providers with revenue generation, technology, product road mapping, and care coordination, and more. He has worked as a VP of digital health at Baylor Scott & White Health. His achievements at Baylor Scott & White Health speak volumes about his passion for digital health. In 2021, Asim started Amenities Health, a digital membership platform to help health systems acquire new patients, engage new users, and build brand loyalty. Amenities Health aims to address pain points such as new patient acquisitions and care scheduling through digital health technology. That's about his company. Asim's experience varies from clinical experience as an MD, consultant for McKinsey, and entrepreneurship. In today's episode, we're going to have an insightful yet fun interaction with Asim on different innovative models in healthcare. Excited to know more about your journey, Asim. Let's begin. Thank you for joining us, Asim.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. Asim, you have worked with a lot in digital health technology. As an entrepreneur, what pain points do you have in working in this niche?
Yeah, so my view of digital health and the opportunity associated with it, I think sometimes it can be a bit boring in the sense that I am really all about the fundamentals in healthcare before we do the fancy stuff. And especially, you know, the last several months of supreme excitement around AI and generative AI models and other things is easy to get caught up in. I think it's obviously an exciting time to be alive, and what those technologies can do is eye-opening and really kind of catchy and definitely newsworthy. But the reality is the problems in healthcare that are most tangible to patients and to everybody involved, including providers and operators, are way simpler than that. It's 2024, and it is almost nowhere in any market can you quickly look up a doctor, search through several profiles, find one that speaks to you, see the availability of that doctor, and book that appointment online. It is 2024, and you can't do that still. So before we AI a bunch of stuff, why don't we fix that? I mean, I think that's really my view of digital health to start with, and a place that I think I've been emphatic around or an evangelist to say, let's solve the basics because those are the major patient pain points before we try to get real fancy with other stuff.
I completely agree with you. As a consultant, I have clients and their healthcare systems are big and numerous. And it doesn't seem like there is one set example where they could just look up a patient and then look up for a doctor, I mean, and then pick from the schedule of that doctor. It always seems to be very complicated, a lot of website techniques and a lot of website manipulation in order to get to that particular schedule. So I think this is a great platform that you have provided for your consumers. So as Asim, you have worked with several providers, and from your experience as a partner, what should be the focus or top priority of providers right now?
So the number one thing that we recommend for everyone is your business as a healthcare system is predicated on both new patient and current patient services, right? And yet, again, you're going to hear this repetition from me. It was like, how hard is it for those patients to give you their business? It's incredibly difficult for patients who want to patron your business to find the providers that you offer and an appointment time that conveniently works for them so that they can pay you money. And that's what I think is the number one priority for any business is how do we make it easy for our customers to transact with us, especially really established legacy brands like large healthcare systems and all of these different major cities and areas. Customer acquisition, I think I put as a very close number two. If you're not growing, you're dying as a business. And yet, again, health systems seem to, in general, take for granted that people will get sick, they'll pick us, we'll always be here. And I just don't think that's the case. I think we are often relying on past performance as an indicator of future performance. And the reality is, dynamics are changing. And I hear this from health systems all the time. We don't consider Amazon a competitor. We don't consider CVS a real competitor. What are they going to do, the surgeries? That is such incredibly short-sighted thinking, because the reality is, no one is coming to take your surgery business besides ambulatory surgery centers. But the problem is, they're coming to take your customers. They're coming to show them a little bit better way and to say, do I really need that health system? And then, trust me, they will come back once they've stolen all your customers and say, how much are you going to pay us to have some of them back now with partnerships? And so that's the reality you're facing. And the really sad part about that is, it's going to take an incredible leap for those CVSs, Amazons, to build all of that quality brand trust that all these health systems have. But these health systems are somewhat squandering it, in the sense that they are not meeting the consumer where they are. Because again, if you look at the ambitions of the health systems, we see all of these like emphasis and focus on AI and how are we going to do this. And you look at their website, and it looks like it was built in the 1980s on a WordPress backbone. And you can't find a doctor. The entire physician list is sorted alphabetically, A through Z. Poor Dr. Zaid is never going to get a patient, let alone what you actually want as a patient, which is not just to see every doctor, but to actually understand what's most important to me is the earliest available appointment. And so those are the types of things that we really push our clients and our partners to consider is, you have to transact. You have to do the basics really well in a way that meets consumer preference. And then this is the part that I think really gets fun is, now let's get above and beyond and do something bold and different. And that's where health systems, again, we encourage them to think differently, to say, every health system in the country will tell you, we have the best docs, we have the best brand. And even the ones that know statistically that's not true, they'll still, right? Like, our docs are our differentiator, our quality, our team, they care. It's not that those things aren't true. There's obviously an incredible bias of, altruistic people who care about giving care to others that work in healthcare. But everyone has that. There is no way for patients to actually meaningfully distinguish between the quality of care, because you've never allowed them to. And so I think that ship has sailed. Quality means something very different to patients. And quality could be, I found an appointment within 2 minutes on your website to them. Whereas health systems are like, oh, quality is our CABG, reinfection rate on this ward. It just doesn't mean the same thing to patients. And so the reality is, I think we have to be convenient, we have to be accessible. And then the really fun starts when we go above and beyond and we think creatively about how to differentiate ourselves with a different offering than is everywhere in the market today.
I couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely agree with the fact that some of their websites are run in 1990s WordPress, and it's so hard to find a specific physician just to see in the next few days because their panels are completely closed or they don't have availabilities in the next few months or so. And some of them even go through the length of just calling the specific healthcare system, and they're calling bots, or they're calling call centers who have thousands of people in line just to get into a healthcare space. So it's not as convenient as we would hope for the patient, and it's absolutely important to think about that quality. I love how you differentiate that specific quality from the quality metrics that healthcare systems look at. Healthcare systems look at the quality metrics provided by the CMS, and while the patients look at the quality metrics from their own digital front door. So it's important to see both, actually, and healthcare systems should be more attuned to the qualities that the patients look for. Thank you for that 2 seconds.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I would take it just another double click on that last point, which is to say, I think it is assumed that you aren't going to hurt me or kill me. As when I'm going to see receive care at an inpatient or outpatient facility, my baseline is, you're not going to try to harm me, right? Now, if you asked a patient to actually distinguish, well, what's a good doctor? I mean, just go out into the world and ask patients that, what's a good doctor? And you will hear every different thing. But the reality is, the biggest thing that we found in patterns is, They are non-judgmental and they're willing to listen to me about the types of things, my input in the treatment path. It has nothing to do with where they went to school, how many years of fellowship training, you know, how expertise they are in certain surgical procedures. I'm not saying it should or shouldn't. I'm just saying patients don't have that information, and doctors are holding it at, and doctors and healthcare systems are holding it as a matter of pride to say we are the best world renowned at X. And or maybe they put it on a billboard and you're like, that's not going to work in today's age, because again, the asymmetry of information is too high. So the only everything in between, like you're not going to kill me and I have the most rare type of cancer that's only treated at Mass General Brigham or something like that. Everything in between is about communicating empathy, convenience, and care. And that's not what the quality metrics that we measure ourselves are by. And so that's okay. I'm not saying we have to rebuild quality or CMS has to change all their metrics. I'm just saying that's not what you're competing on. And I wish we would acknowledge that and start competing on experience.
I completely agree with you. In med school, they would always tell us that not always the smartest would get the most patients, but the most people person, the most amicable and the most empathetic of the group. So yes, I completely agree with that statement. My next question is, how can healthcare systems adapt the membership model similar to Amazon Prime for patient engagement?
So this is our whole world. So at Amenities, I left Baylor Scott & White because we had built, I think, some of the best tools in the country still to date. And at Amenities, we've done that at scale with multiple other health systems. So if for folks that are looking for digital front door, website, provider search, registration in under 30 seconds with no data entry, we're excellent at that, so I'd welcome anybody to check us out for that. But the thing that we're really excited for, and again, the thing that I was missing at Baylor that I really wanted to manifest in the world, was this idea that memberships have a very interesting opportunity in this time that we live in. So one is they're ubiquitous. Everybody expects to have a subscription for X, Y, or Z, even things that you get tired of. In fact, I think there's a little bit of burnout on how many subscriptions I have to have Hulu, I have to have Netflix, I have to, you know, we're always trying to cut back on the number of streaming services. But overall, I think the examples that you just cited are the biggest ones. So Amazon Prime and Costco have just not just been dominant, they've been industry transforming. And the reason I look at Amazon as that example is Amazon Prime, before Amazon Prime, I was an Amazon shopper. But still, 9 times out of 10, when I needed something, I would drive my butt down to Walmart because I wanted it right away, right? I wanted to touch it. I wanted to feel it. I wanted to try it on. But they did two things in Amazon Prime that, at least for me, were massive difference makers that unlocked so much value. One, unlimited returns, free returns, right? So that way I'm not worried about how fast I get it, because it's not going to be 2 weeks later. It's going to be 2 days. It's not perfect. And obviously they've made it even smaller every time, right? Now it's same day delivery, next day delivery, but 2 days was enough for me. I'm like, I can wait 2 days. Okay. That was one, but then it was also free returns. It was the idea that I can try it on and I'm not being going to penalize by sending it back. And the reason those two I cite as the biggest examples is flip it now. In 2024, well after Amazon Prime, but very close after Amazon Prime came out, it became 9 to 1 the other way. I became an unlimited e-commerce shopper, but specifically at Amazon. I'm still super hesitant to shop at other places because I'm going to have to pay for the shipping back, or I'm going to have to find a local store to take it in. And what I take from that is Amazon Prime coupled the idea of a membership with attacking the worst parts of an industry. Meaning the problem with e-commerce was the instant gratification and the risk factor of what if I don't want it. And they addressed those head on and wrapped it in a membership. And now, again, think about how much value they're driving from 9 out of 10 times that I would have gone to Walmart. Now I'm shopping there online. And so that's the transformative lesson, I think, from memberships is how can healthcare, and we'll talk about this in a second, I'm sure, it's way harder, but how can healthcare create something that is addressing core patient pain points, but wrap it in a membership so that they are excited about the super high-end returns that they could potentially have rather than these incremental, we added virtual visits. Great, that's commoditized instantly. Oh, we have a, you know, a device that does some remote monitoring. Again, everyone can buy that. Let's talk about something that is addressing core patient pain points and has a transformative opportunity associated with it.
Well said. And I think I absolutely agree with you when it comes to Amazon Prime and their transformative just experience with everything. They do everything so fast, so quickly, so great with a great amount of customer service to back it up as well. So I think most healthcare can learn from Amazon Prime because they're taking over the e-commerce world. What are the operational strategies used by Costco and Amazon that would be applied to healthcare to improve efficiency?
Well, I'm going to say maybe a little bit less efficiency, but again, I think it could pay for itself in spades. One thing that Amazon and Costco do brilliantly that I think 1,000% healthcare should learn from, aside from what I already just said, is they get on their members' side. And when I say that, I mean like there are Amazon 30-day window, you buy something, you return it. But I don't know if you've ever tried this, but I have. I'm like, it's day 31. It's day 35. I forgot. It's a busy time. You just ask them. You just like, hey, I know this is past returns day. Could you still take it back? And more often than not, they'll be like, yeah, you know what? That's no problem. We're on your side. And you're like, oh my God, they broke the rules for me. They're on my side. And same with Costco. If you look at the difference between Costco and Sam's Club, it's 90% the same in terms of the setup of a warehouse, right? It's a warehouse, discount, all of that sort of stuff. And they got pizza right when you come in. They got ices, all that. It's all the same. But the reason that I personally am a Costco shopper instead is, my goodness, are they on your side? They're there to please. They're like, hey, unlimited returns forever, 90 days for electronics. But like, they also like, hey, how can we make that better? What can we do for you? It's the attitudes of the people, and there's a ton of case studies, so we don't have to like, I don't have to explain it to people. They can just Google it. But the thing on both of those is they are on your side. And let's just be blunt and maybe a little bit ugly. When's the last time healthcare was on your side? You call any hospital, any clinic, and ask them a billing question, and they talk to you like they hate you. They talk to you like you're just ruining their day and it's not their problem. And why can't you just let me get back to my lunch? Right. And every part of that is policies and other things. And so I don't think it's an operational efficiency opportunity. It's this, my goodness, if everybody in your organization was actually responsible for the delight of that consumer, we would feel a lot differently and behaviors would change quite a bit.
Yes, I think you pointed out a few things there. One is that consumer is always should be first in any transaction, and that consumer health is taking over, especially what they've learned from Amazon or Costco, and that they know that they could be first in a specific industry, and they're bringing that attitude towards healthcare and towards other industries. So it's
And
important to go ahead.
I want to give you an example of that that I often point out when we talk about patient, because we say in healthcare, patient first, patient at the center all the time.
Yes.
Having been inside of a health system responsible for innovation, I can't tell you how frustrating. One of the main barriers to innovation is our use of words that sound good, but we really mean the opposite. And if it ever needed a point, the example I always give is imagine if every single Southwest Airlines pilot got to individually decide if their passengers were able to book those tickets online or not. And you know what? They just don't like it when passengers book their tickets online. They want them to call in. So the pilot made that choice. That's US healthcare. Every doctor is basically empowered with the choice of saying, you know what? I don't think it's safe or correct to really have online scheduling because we need to really make sure that they're calling in. And that is not patient-centric. Full stop. The fact that every physician's appointment can't be booked online at your own convenience with your own kind of self administration is not patient-centric. Anybody who has any misconceptions about that needs to evaluate that and understand that we say things to be, oh, we want patient-centric, but I think what we mean is, oh, we want them to see me on my terms, not theirs. And that's stuff that I always point out is like we're far from it. There's numbers in the industry, but I think less than about 20%, one in five health systems have open scheduling, especially for things that are as challenging as specialty. And there's some nuances there, but it doesn't mean it can't be done.
Yes, completely agree with you. I've worked with some clients where they have documents and documents of a provider profiles to work with because the providers have their own terms of how they want it to be scheduled. Like they can't see ear infection, or they could only see this or that, but not this. So
Sure.
it's not as patient friendly, as you said, and patient centric as patients want it to be, because it's so hard to see that doctor in specific timing that they want to be seen.
It's different expectations, by the way. And one thing, let's again be very nitpicky about this here, which is to say that's not how it works at One Medical, right? Those, by the way, because it's one thing, again, when you're talking about like, I'm a super specialized hematology oncologist who specialize in this type of cancer. Okay, there's a matching problem that again can be helped in different ways. But when we're talking about primary care doesn't have open scheduling in most healthcare systems in the United States today. Primary
Right.
care, by definition, is a catch-all service line to take any of those things. Now, that doesn't mean that physicians don't have preferences, but again, that is not the operating model of One Medical. They are there to serve you, and they will make time to see you if you want to be seen, type of thing. And that's a different mental model than, well, we need to match the physician templates to match the way that the doctor wants to practice because they really like to do physical, sports physicals on Monday mornings only. Too bad. Like that's my answer to
Right.
that. Too bad. That is not how we can operate in a consumer-centric world. Let's just stop pretending, or let's give that model to a partner. Like amenities can come in and help do that model because we don't have any misconceptions on who the C is. We often had that conversation inside of health systems. Well, who's the customer? Is it the physician? Because again, health systems have to cater to
Exactly.
physicians often. And so again, that question would frustrate me more than anything else. Who's the C? I'm like, the patient's the customer. And then we get
Right.
into insurance debates and all this other stuff. So that's the way I think about it is we should be crystal clear, the patient, and we should empower them if they, even if they're not making their own decisions about moving to different healthcare systems. Because I think, again, the early adopters here will win the market, and we are here to help them do that and figure out exactly what those patients want.
Absolutely. How do partnerships with companies like T-Mobile or Tinnovi contribute to improving healthcare delivery?
So I think the things that are infrastructure, that's why I'm putting this category. T-Mobile is very interesting for a number of reasons because I think although they don't, I mean they technically you pay them every month, so they technically have a membership. But T-Mobile, by the way, what I mentioned earlier, they were the movers in telecom who went after every worst part of their industry, and they had exceptional growth associated with it. So things like no contracts, unlimited data, then free streaming, all of these things came because T-Mobile was like, what's the worst thing people hate about cell phones? Let's change that. And
Right.
then everyone had to follow suit. Now, don't get me wrong, everybody's making their money. They increase the price and it's very frustrating. But at the same time, without T-Mobile, Verizon wouldn't have unlimited data. Without T-Mobile, I don't know who else is out there. AT&T wouldn't have, they would still be paying 5 cents per text, basically. So that would be incredibly frustrating. But I think your question is more about the infrastructure players. And there is a reality that like not everyone has the access to digital services and Wi-Fi in the needed levels to be able to leverage it like the way we're all kind of hoping and dreaming or picturing the future, where you can just whip open a video visit and talk to your doc conveniently or use a Bluetooth stethoscope or a blood pressure cuff. So I think players that do infrastructure like a T-Mobile, there's some cellular players that are more kind of global cellular. And then Tinnovi, I think, especially in the kind of remote monitoring world, simplifying the access to devices. But I also will be clear that like I think this is all secondary to fixing the website, being able to find a doctor, knowing where the appointment, because again, we jumped to this, and this was my job, by the way, at Baylor Scott & White. I spent 15 months of my life kind of scoping out every remote patient monitoring capability. And the reality is there's not a business model yet that justifies remote patient monitoring. There's individual codes that you get reimbursed for and you can do it. But I think in general, we have amazing technology that's looking for a business case. If we just start with the basics, we can get there. But I do think, for example, when you do remote monitoring and other things, it is ultimately going to be wrapped into a membership. But the place where that's most justified, at least at the current cost, is really high risk Medicare Advantage. There's not a great business case to be using it in other places just yet.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that the infrastructures with what T-Mobile has, such as remote push and monitoring later on, would come in handy on the secondary portion of the phase, where primary portion would be the schedule and the registration and the importance of getting that patient into the door. How do consumer-oriented digital interfaces like those used by Amazon and Costco enhance patient experiences?
So this is one where it's both not surprising but also incredibly frustrating to see that to some degree, I think we all are frustrated by this, but at the same time, some people really advocate for this is we've kind of deferred our consumer tools to large EMR vendors. And then we're shocked that we are, everyone complains about how behind healthcare is when, again, that's like saying you're going to let if you were a tax preparer, you're going to let Microsoft Office build your consumer app and just be like, yeah, they'll do a great job. What could go wrong, right? There's no way that EMR vendors were going to be the best at a consumer experience. They're building literally for large healthcare systems and providers. Patients are an afterthought. And if anybody disagrees with that, just go use the, just ask them how much they love their patient portal. And the reality is, again, there's occasional oddballs, but 9 out of 10 are like, no, I look at this as a thing I have to use. I have no like desire or appetite to be like, this is good. Or it's again, it's back to that 1980s WordPress type website, the equivalent for apps, but I know they came along later than the 1980s. But that's just to say that like Amazon and Costco aren't necessarily the best apps. They're not my examples of the best apps. But there are definitely constantly being iterations of mobile experiences as well as web responsive on mobile experiences that are really upping the game in terms of our expectation. If nothing else, by the way, booking something is established now by Uber or Uber Eats. Like your ability to find where you're going to eat is established by Yelp. Your ability to find a garden hose is established by Amazon. And so when we talk about, again, provider search, these things have been solved. If we just match those things, which by the way, this is entirely self-serving, but that's what Amenities does. We just provide a modern consumer experience for provider search and scheduling that is sorted by things that patients actually care about, which is taking all your providers and sorting them by next available appointment. Because as much as physicians may not like to hear this, the number one thing a patient is looking for is the earliest available appointment. And instead, what we happen often was they'll be like, oh, what about ratings? Well, unfortunately, ratings in healthcare have become meaningless. One, this is an insider industry secret, is physicians have the opportunity to protest a lot of those bad ratings, right, wrong, or indifferent. In which case, at Baylor Scott & White, the reason we don't have a sort by ratings of the provider is literally everyone is 4.5 and above. It's not a meaningful discrepancy between. And so instead, I think when we surveyed people, number one was the earliest available appointment. Number two was, I don't want to drive, 50 miles for this. So proximity. And then three, four were always things that we never found in a single provider profile. You mentioned it earlier. They're like, hey, I want to make sure that I do this exact type of thing or only this. What patients want to know about their profile is, are you judgmental? And what's your philosophy on medications? And those two things I've literally never found on a single profile, and yet they pop to the top of exact every time we test what do you want to know about a provider if you're going to match a provider that you're going to see repeatedly. Now it's different for specialists, they care a lot less because then it's about like how frequently do they do this. And again, that data is not available. It's not like we're saying we're going to take the volume of collarbone repair surgery and put it into the search. That would be amazing, but again, we're so far from consumer centric views on these things. I think just baby steps about doing the schedule sort by next available will already be better because think about what patients have to do today. They literally go to the website, it's organized completely. They just pick the first provider who doesn't look like they're going to be a jerk to them and they call them. And if that provider says either I'm not accepting new patients or my earliest available appointment is 5 months from now, just think about how many people stop and say, okay, I'm going to get back to my day. I'll handle this later and never come back to it. Because again, you'd literally have to go five deep, six deep, and then it turns out number seven actually had availability tomorrow. And yet that's how we're like, oh yeah, but that's the consumer. They'll call, they'll get through it. In what world do we do that? I mean, when you need to have anything done, if you need somebody to come clean your carpets, are you going to call seven of them in a row just to be like, hey, do you have availability 8 months from now? Okay, I'll call the next guy. I'll get back to you. And yet, this is what we expect patients to do, and it's just never going to work.
You said a few good points and I couldn't agree with you more. Well said. So you mentioned that EMRs are not really patient friendly. That's actually absolutely correct. Aside from a few that are, but most EMRs are in tune to the healthcare system to make it sure that their workflow is seamless. But when it comes to the patient, especially you could see the patient portal, it's not that user friendly or it's not that great when it comes to accessibility and user-friendly features. But also, I wanted to point out the fact that you said that patients would start looking for five or would ask for five different doctors and not get it at first availability. And that's correct. They would still have to call. And sometimes the call center is already have a line of patients waiting to answer their phone calls and that they don't get to them as soon as possible. And you have to wait a few minutes in order to get that specific schedule. So it is not patient friendly and it is not consumer friendly to just get a schedule in hand with those providers and those practitioners. So yes, you absolutely made some great points there. My last question is, can you discuss the potential financial benefits for healthcare providers adopting such business models?
Yes, so I think we think of memberships. The reason, again, I bet my entire professional career on this and left and started a company is because I think, one, obviously, I want to build a good company and a venture, but the number one goal is I want to fix some element of healthcare. And I don't know how to fix costs, and I don't know how to fix quality because I don't even know what it means anymore. I think we can fix experience. And the key to doing that is competing on experience. Because right now, I think if a health system, let's say they go, the exact example you just gave, they spend a ton of time and effort on their contact center. Because right now, if you call, right, by the way, when you pick Dr. So-and-so on the website, that number isn't for that doctor. Sometimes it's to the contact center.
Exactly.
They're like, oh, Dr. So-and-so is not available for 8 months. They're like, okay, great. Who is? And they're like, I don't know. Who do you want to see? And that's so it's just
Right.
horrible. Let's say they spend a ton of time to fix that. They're still kind of like, they're like, ah, did we really get any benefit from that? And so that's where I think memberships is my professional thesis to say we can fix experience by making it super concrete that when you win a member, that they start coming to you more often. They start staying in your network and start utilizing your services, especially for the high dollar surgeries, procedures, and inpatient volume. And I'll give you a concrete example of when I say membership, what I mean, because I think everybody, when they think of membership, unfortunately, in this industry, we're not very creative. It is rich people medicine, concierge care. We're like, oh, yeah, let's do memberships. Let's charge people $2,000 a year to get our doctor's phone number. And then we're, ta-da, we've fixed the world. That's literally 1% of the population or less that that's going to apply to. What I'm talking about is there are opportunities, as I mentioned, with T-Mobile and Amazon to go directly at the worst parts of your industry and do something about it. And for patients, it is 100% clear in all of our surveys, the number one problem in healthcare is cost. It is not access. We just complain, I complain to you for like 20 minutes now about I can't find a doctor's appointment. But when you ask patients, okay, what are you really worried about? The number one thing is you're going to bankrupt me if I don't know something that you expect me to know ahead of time, whether it's my deductible or whether it's out of network,
Right.
whatever it is. And health systems have largely said, well, I mean, that's not our fault. That's insurance's game. And so I made almost no progress in 4 years of leading innovation at Baylor Scott & White on this issue because health systems are conflicted. Do we really want to do something about something when we're the problem? It's our bill that they're. Yes, this is back to that membership. Get on the consumer side. And so when we do things about memberships, we're promoting things like no surprise billing guarantee, satisfaction guarantee, transparent cash pay pricing. And the reason that those things in a membership are way better than concierge care is because if one thing that One Medical proved is that you can get concierge care for primary care and go wherever you want for specialty, because there's never been a health system that's made a nickel in partnership with One Medical. They're just losing money paying Amazon to steal their patients from them. Instead of concierge primary care, if you had no surprise billing guarantee, You had transparent cash pay pricing and you had satisfaction guarantee. When you need surgery, where do you think you're going to go? Because those only apply at the
Absolutely.
health system. Now you're talking about things that don't cost new doctor salaries, things that scale with technology, and things that you can do to truly get on their side. But not you might be not be surprised to hear though when we talk about this with health system, the first question, the first reaction is shock. Like, are we really going to offer patients no surprise billing guarantee against ourselves? Yes, 1,000-fold. That's what you need to be doing. If you want to shift the trajectory of healthcare, the first movers who do this, I believe, will be massively rewarded. And by the way, when we say massively rewarded, if you move 10% of volume and you increase that in a market like Dallas-Fort Worth, that is worth $1 billion. Like, that's the rewards here because healthcare dollars are so big in these major markets. Why not take a bet? What's the worst that could happen to try to get on patient's side and do something like this? But I think we're too absorbed with keeping the status quo. And so this is the opportunity that we're really trying to push folks. It's why we're called amenities. We're literally trying to create the amenities of healthcare that stop making the experience suck so bad. We just want to help fill in these gaps because we know it's not native things that health systems are going to know how to do, but they should be associated with health systems because that's who's going to provide the majority of care in this country for the next 50 to 100 years. And that's okay. We just need to embrace that and say they need partners. And hopefully, we can be a partner to help them figure out this world of memberships.
I love that. I love that about amenities, and as well as the fact that you're taking the cost question out of the equation for the patients. And it's the fact that right now it seems like the insurance is the one that dictates healthcare versus the patient that dictates its own healthcare. So it's great that it's very consumer friendly, very patient centric, and very patient first. So that's amazing. I also want to give you the floor to let you tell us more about amenities. What do you want our audience to know? Tell us more about the projects that you're currently working on. Share, this is your time to share about amenities as much as you can.
Sure. I'll try to keep this relatively short because I covered some of it, but at the same time, I appreciate the platform. So one, part of what we do is we build, I think, candidly, the best digital front door tools in the country for health systems. I proved that at Baylor Scott & White, which are my BSW Health and BSWHealth.com are two of the highest performing websites in the country. And when I say highest performing, I mean 500,000 net new patients were acquired between those two platforms. That is a massive amount, hundreds of millions of dollars of revenues attributed to those two platforms. Now, part of why I left was not every health system has the amount of money that we spent doing that. And so we do it at a fraction of the cost. And we've already been live now with a couple of different health systems. But for folks looking at either new patient registration, so one of the biggest problems we mentioned with the EMR platforms is they literally are current patient platforms. They're not new patient acquisition tools. That's not how they think. They're not here to just let anyone in off the street. We help let anyone in off the street because you want them. That's a patient. But patient portals aren't built that way. So new patient registration, provider search and scheduling, and then the comprehensive mobile experience, that's places where we excel, and we'd love to talk to anybody that's looking to do that. On the other side of the house, a part that we call, just like Amazon, make it frictionless transactions. Just make it easy for people to do business with you. On the other side now is the Amazon Prime. We're literally trying to work with partners to build the Amazon Prime of healthcare by really getting deep and providing a nuanced view of loyalty. So specifically, and most health systems don't understand or like to admit this, but they have even patients in all of our research, even patients who say they are loyal to a health system split 50% or more of the time. And so their share of wallet is a fraction of what it could be. Then they have dozens of patients, hundreds, sorry, thousands of patients that come through their door that have not said that they're their preferred system, but they have an opportunity because they walk through their doors. And then finally, there's the mass market. And so we are very pointed in memberships designed to attract and win these types of patient classes. And so we design, build, deploy, and manage direct-to-consumer memberships for these health systems, all 100% white labeled for that health system. So they're earning the loyalty, not One Medical or not some other partner.
That's quite impressive. Thank you, Asim, for sharing your insights today. It has been a pleasure discussing healthcare business models with you. Before we wrap up, we encourage our listeners to connect with Asim on LinkedIn to stay up to date on his work and his insights. Your engagement with the podcast is valuable, and we look forward to bringing you more informative discussions in the future. Thank you for being part of our community. Again, thank you, Asim, for all your insights and just your knowledge sharing with us. We appreciate your time.
It's a pleasure.